If you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And if you would like to borrow a Bible or if you need a Bible, we'd be glad to give you one of these Bibles. Just raise your hand and you can follow along with us there. Everybody have a great Thanksgiving. I saw lots of pictures on Facebook of happy people and lots of food, right? Like big tables with lots of food. That's very awesome. I smoked my first turkey. You didn't know where I was going with that, did you? Smoked my first turkey, and it was good. I think we'll try it again. I got up at 3 a.m. I am committed to turkey from a smoking situation. Anyway, it was fun. Today, we're going to kind of wind down a series we've called Mine, and we've talked about what things are mine, what things are God's, and kind of set the foundation for what we call in a church world stewardship. In other words, everything belongs to God, and we live under the provision of what God has provided to us out of his abundance and out of his grace and provision. So today we want to talk about the last part of this, and it's a gold mine. If you really kind of lean in on this, if you really think about all that we're going to talk about today, you're going to find a gold mine to live by in your life. Now, how many of you are aware of this apparatus? Okay. Now, how many of you have ever had a bad experience with said apparatus? Anybody? Okay. Falling off a ladder, maybe get a little weak-kneed. The older I get, I don't know if this is wisdom or just cowardice, but the older I get, the less I like heights and the less I like confined spaces. I get a lot of phobias the older I get. I used to be able to go up and down a ladder. I could hang off a roof. I could go up, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff. But the older I get, I won't do it. Some of you have no problem going right up to the top of this ladder, standing there with nobody spotting you. It just doesn't never occur to you that something could happen. But for most of us, or at least some of us, I might get to the first or second rung, but once I start getting, I can still do it. But when I get up a little higher, I get a little nervous. Anybody else kind of with me on that? And if you're like me, it takes a little bit of something to get up kind of on the higher rungs on a ladder. What is that thing that it takes? It takes a little trust, right? It takes a little, what I would call, faith to be able to go up this ladder. Faith in what? Well, faith, it sounds like a churchy word, but faith really is just belief and trust. So I believe that the Werner company that created this ladder is reputable and that this ladder has been made and designed in such a way as to hold my 180-pound body. Okay, 195-pound body on this beautifully made ladder, right? But not everybody has that. Every bit of life, most of life, takes a little bit of faith, and climbing a ladder is no different. Our family lives on Canterbury Road, and every year around this time, we put out Christmas lights. Now, have you ever been down Canterbury Road during Christmas time? Okay. And not just Christmas lights on our street, but lighted Christmas tree balls, right? Now, there are these chicken wire tree balls that we put out. And if you haven't been down our street, you should. And if you have been down our street, you're welcome. It's our gift to you, right? And a number of years ago, a few of our neighbors and myself started making and hanging these tree balls. And to be honest, it's gotten a little bit out of hand. What started with four neighbors, guys, literally getting together, watch Monday Night Football and make tree balls. Like, it's like crafty, but also with a man kind of, you know, spit and scratch kind of, you know, thing on it. And so we would get together, watch Monday Night Football, and we made these tree balls. I think the first year I had 7 tree balls. I think now I have more than 50 of these things, and it's gotten a little bit out of hand. We literally have a block party to celebrate the grand illumination of said lighted Christmas tree balls. We have a there have been workshops in the past to teach people how to make these. There's even a fundraiser associated with the lighting of the tree balls. One of the local elementary schools, they do a little fun run after dark down through the neighborhood under the tree balls. And to be honest, I like and enjoy the lights, but I like them much more after they're already up in the trees. You know what I'm talking about? Like, it's become a little bit overwhelming to put those out. Now, we have kind of taken this up a notch. A few years ago, one of my neighbors started renting a cherry picker. You know what I mean by that? It's like a lift that brings you up in a basket or whatever. And it's a lot easier. The first year, I think we literally, it was kind of, again, this is what men do. They make everything competition. We threw a something heavy with a string to see who could get one up there the highest, right? And then we pull the cord over and then put the tree ball into that. And whoever got the one up there the highest kind of won. Well, now we go even more manly. We rent a 60-foot cherry picker. And instead of just throwing stuff up, we can have them all over the place. So if you haven't been down there, come down our neighborhood. And now it's a full-on neighborhood experience and project. And while we do have the cherry picker, there's one tree in our front yard that I did drive the cherry picker one year out into my front yard, and it left some ruts in my front yard because it's pretty heavy. And so I don't want to do that, so I can't get to this one tree, so it requires me to go back to the old school ladder to get up there. And a couple years ago, literally 2 years ago, I put some up so high with my neighbor's step extension ladder that when it came time, and I was so nervous putting them up there, that those tree balls have been in the tree ever since. I did not go back up and get them. I did not retrieve them. They're just a permanent fixture in that tree until the tree dies and we cut it down or whatever. So here's the problem. The problem with me and ladders is I have seen too many of these kind of videos. Watch this. I like that it's in slow motion, right? This is the reason to have a video surveillance camera on your house, right here, in case your wife ever does this. Not concerned at all. Kid comes out, oh, there it is. Oh, Dad, you just broke your leg. This is my wife, Bonnie, as she's helping. Just kidding. This is how not to use the ladder, right? Actually, I think the ladder worked her, not the other way around. All right, shake it off. Shake it off. He's holding the house like it's the house's fault, right? Like, what'd you do to me? Keep shaking it off. Just when you think church can't be more fun, right? That's my favorite. It has nothing to do with Christmas, this one. He's just hanging a chandelier, but they'll show it again. But listen, at the end, he's like, starts laughing. Like, how do you fall two floors and laugh about it? So this is why I am not good on ladders, because I get sucked into YouTube videos of people falling off of ladders. Now, some of you aren't afraid even a little bit to go up a ladder. Even watching that, you're like, these people are just moronic. They don't know how to use a ladder. They didn't get a spotter. And you'll go right to the top of a ladder, and no worries. While others of us have a little trepidation when it comes to heights, for those of us who are afraid of heights, it doesn't really matter if we see 100 people go up and down a certain ladder. We're still going to get a little bit nervous, right? Our heart's going to pound a little bit, and we start to shut down, right? We're not putting our faith in anything as risky as an aluminum ascension mechanism, are we? We're not going to do it. You might be surprised, but I didn't haul this ladder out here today just to show you funny videos. But I want us to use this as a metaphor for how many of us allow fear, right, to keep us from experiencing the kind of freedom that God longs for each of us to have. If you have a Bible, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 17. In this passage, the Apostle Paul is writing to a young church leader named Timothy. He's sort of his apprentice, and he's talking him through some of the pitfalls and some of the things that he'll face as he leads the church where he's been instructed to be the evangelist or minister. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. The New Living Translation says, teach those who are rich in this world. Now, let's stop for just a second. I kind of think I know what you're thinking, right? Many of us here don't think that we fit the category of the rich, do we? Right? I'm not rich. Have you seen my car? Literally, have you seen my last paycheck? We think that those who are rich that Paul's talking about here are people who shop at places we haven't heard of and eat things that we cannot pronounce. The rich are the elite, right? The 1% in the world. The rich are those who need to pay more taxes. That's who the rich are. And while it might be true that there are people wealthier than you are or I am, let's put some of this in perspective. According to some recent research, listen to this. If you have sufficient food, decent clothes, live in a house or an apartment, have a reasonably reliable means of transportation, then you're among the top 15% of the world's wealthy. Right? Well, we think, well, we're kind of maybe middle of the road. I got more than some, but not as much as others. We're kind of in the middle of the road, 50%. Well, if you just have some of the world's basic necessities, that puts you in the top 15%. If you earn $25,000 or more annually, then you're in the top 10% of income earners in the world. And if you earn more than $50,000 annually, you're in the top 1% of the world's income earners. When we think of those who are rich, we typically think of those who are living a lavish lifestyle, living in mansions, going to exotic places, having more luxury cars than they have fingers and toes, right? But the reality is that compared to the world, we're all in the top tier. We all have more than most. Now, when you think about this, nowhere in the Bible, before you accuse me of something here, I want to be clear about what the Bible does and does not teach. Nowhere in the Bible is wealth equated with evil. It's not wrong to be at that top level. It's not wrong to have life's basic necessities. God doesn't oppose those who are rich. In fact, there are a number of people in the Bible that God used to do incredible things, and they were wealthy. Abraham had many flocks and herds, and that's how people calculated their wealth, by the number of animals they had in that time. David was the king. Solomon, his son, was the king, and the Bible describes his riches as unfathomable, right? So many things and money. So the point isn't that being wealthy is wrong. So don't get me wrong here this morning. But Paul's message today is for those of us, and let's just include all of us here today, those of us who are rich, which again, according to the latest research, is you and me. He says, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud. So what does pride look like when it comes to money? Pride says, the money I make is mine. I deserve it. I earned it. And I'm in charge of it. Humility in the face of money says, sure, I worked for this with my hands, but these hands were given to me by God. Sure, I used my brain to build wealth, but this brain was given to me by God. Humility says, all I have has come by my way by the hand of a loving God. By the God who, as Paul says, richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. I love that. God doesn't give us money and then want us to feel bad for having money. God doesn't sort of pigeonhole us into evil people just because we have money. He says, no, he gives you all of those things for your enjoyment. So I hope that settles some of your fears. I'm not going to browbeat you for being in that 1%. What I'm going to say is thank God for that. If we have money, if we earn a good income, if we don't need to feel guilty, God has given it to us for our enjoyment. But, and this is where we want to lean in today, but that's not all he's given it to us for, right? It's not the only reason that we have what we have. Paul continues, says, teach those who are rich not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, right? Verse 17, command those who are rich not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God. Don't trust in your money because it's unreliable. Now, many of you I know have experienced that unreliability, right? At one point, it may have been the answer to all of your problems, and now it's the cause of those problems. But that's only because of one thing. And it's the same thing that it takes someone like me to climb a ladder. It's faith. It's trusting in God. Our faith is not in God. It's in money. If we're living in fear, right? If we're subservient to our money, it's because we have put our trust in money, not in God. See, we've treated this ladder like it was our ascension into wealth and prestige and success. We climbed it. We conquered it. We trusted it to set us free so we could do whatever we want, to attain a certain amount of whatever, right? And we all have that number in our minds where we will be comfortable. And typically what happens is when we get to that number, then we get a new number. Isn't that what happens? And so if we watch enough commercials, read enough magazines, listen to enough self-help books, then you'll be led to this climbing of this ladder, trying to get those things to lead you where you think you need to go. You'll be led to believe that money will take you there, and you forget that money is what? Can be shaky, can be unreliable, can be like getting on the top rung of a ladder without someone spotting you. And some of us here, I know it's true because in a group this size, I know that some of us here have tried to live this way by putting our trust in money, thinking that that was going to solve all of life's problems. And many of us have fallen, right? We've tumbled back to the ground because we put our faith and our trust in the ascension of wealth rather than in the foundation of God's provision for our lives. So today, I want you to know that God wants to set you free from that kind of stress. You don't have to be stressed out about climbing this ladder to try and attain a certain amount of whatever that is you're looking for, right? Just trust God. And Paul gives us the antidote for our dependence on money. Look at verse 18. Verse 18 says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. So you're following? This ladder is no longer, today, I don't want us to think about this as an ascension to wealth or getting to where we are financially free or free and can do whatever we want, right? This ladder is no longer the ascension to wealth, no longer the ladder to success or possessions and power. This morning, I want us to think about this ladder representing our willingness to trust God with everything, including our finances. It's not the corporate ladder. These aren't the rungs of successful financial management or even the steps to greater wealth. Rather, these are the steps of generosity, which require, anyone know where we're going? Faith, right? Require us to trust God. Now, unlike money, which is unreliable, the foundation of this ladder is from the promise from Jesus we heard in the first week. Remember, all that is mine is from God. Matthew chapter 6, God will provide. If God takes care of the flowers and the birds, then he's going to take care of us because he loves us. Remember, you don't have to worry. God will provide. So the challenge for us today is to trust, to put our faith in God, who says that we can rely on him. God will provide. Last week, we talked about inside of God's provision, there's joy, right? I can live joyfully within God's provision. Our next step is to be generous and willing to share. So I want you to think about this as the generosity ladder today. Write that on your paper and maybe write down these different rungs. And I want you to really pray about these things. Now, this idea is not something I came up with. Maybe you've seen it before, but it's a really good visual of, I believe, where God wants to take us by faith, right? Throughout our lives. So this is the generosity ladder. The first rung on this ladder is represents the initial giver. So all of us at one time or another in our lives have given a gift and been generous somewhere in our lives, somewhere, right? Many of us can remember back to the first time that we gave money to church or to something outside of ourselves. And many of us can remember some of the fear that took, right? Every one of these Every one of these rungs include a little fear, but also even more faith to overcome them. Does that make sense? So remember that first gift. This is someone who decided to give for the first time, who decided to give something and trust God with their gift. This is maybe you, or maybe thinking back me when I came to church and my heart was tugged by something that a missionary or somebody was asking me to sponsor a child and said, I don't really have the money for this, but I'm going to give that first gift because I think God wants me to do that. Right? We can all remember that. The other thing that's interesting about this generosity ladder is this. Every rung takes a little more faith. Right? Every rung, it kind of builds on itself. And there's no right or wrong. There's simply whatever God is doing. I'm not trying to talk anybody into anything, or this is no sales pitch, right? This isn't me trying to get money out of you. This is me, as your preacher, trying to grow in you what I think is more important than money, which is the faith to trust God with your money. So every rung on this ladder takes faith and takes maybe a little bit more faith. But that first gift takes a lot of faith. It's an important step because it represents the very first step towards trusting God rather than our money. See, we're told in our lives and in our society that the more money we have, the more secure we are. And the more money we have, the more things we have, the more prestige we have. And we've really been sold a bill of lies. Because the truth is, the more money we have, sometimes the more problems we have. And the more money we have doesn't lead us to more faith necessarily, so we have to be intentional about it, okay? The next rung represents the consistent giver. So at some point, whether you were a kid and first gave your first offering because you brought up in the church, you gave your first offering, your parents taught you about giving and stewardship and tithing, you gave that initial gift, but then you made the decision that I want to do that on a consistent basis. Right? This is someone who decides to give on a regular basis, once a week, twice a month, perhaps online, maybe in an offering box, for instance, here at Two Rivers, but someone who gives consistently or regularly. That's the next level. So this is God tugs on your heart, you want to give, you give, or maybe you're in one of those churches where they pass the plate by you and you're like, ooh, I got to give, my initial gift was maybe conjured out of me, or maybe you really decided I wanted to give, but this is going to the next level. The next step is to say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you, I'm going to give consistently. The next level, the next rung is the intentional giver. Maybe. It's really good tape. The intentional giver, this is someone who is beginning to think about their giving in relation to other things they spend their money on. For example, have you ever had this conversation with yourself? Why am I giving more money to the cell phone company than I'm giving to God? You ever had that? You ever kind of thought through your bills and said, man, I'm giving a lot of money to my car payment, or I'm spending a lot of money eating out. And so there's this connection, there's this intentionality to where my money is going, right? Am I going to spend more money this year on my vacation? Am I going to give more money to the work of God? Being intentional makes this a priority. When our girls were first born, before that, Bonnie and I both worked full-time jobs. And it was important to us that Bonnie get to stay home with them for as long as we could manage it. But we didn't necessarily plan this really all that well. We just said, hey, this is our goal. So we didn't set out with that in mind when we first got married. We just spent what we had, right? Does this sound familiar to anybody? And then when we were pregnant, mostly Bonnie was pregnant with our girls, we decided we want her to stay home with the girls if we can. And I know that, and I'm not telling you what you need to do. Don't get me wrong. This is just a decision. This is a conversation, our family. That was important to us. But what that meant was we had to really start being intentional about where our money went. Because we went from two salaries, to be honest, our salaries were about the same. It wasn't like I was making tons more money than Bonnie. So we essentially cut our income in half and decided that that was more important. We made a decision. And some of you have made some similar decisions, whether it's to take a different job because it wasn't healthy or to get out of the Marine Corps that changes your financial status. I understand that conversation. I've had it with many of you over the years. Maybe it's children coming in your family. You have to make some decisions. And so for us, it was probably the best thing that could have happened to us financially. Why, Dave? Because you had a lot less money? Yeah. It forced us to learn to live within God's provision. And so we had to learn to be intentional if we were going to give at all. We had to make some choices. We had to cut back on some things so that we could give to God. And that brings us kind of to the next level, which is sacrificial giver. Right? If this is being intentional, this is being sacrificial. This is someone who begins to make changes in their lifestyle that cost them something. Right? That's the idea. Jesus gave his life, the greatest sacrifice ever given. What can we give? What can we sacrifice to give back to God? A sacrificial giver asks the question, am I giving in a way that changes me? Right? Does it cost me anything? Does it allow me to grow and stretch? I want to be sacrificial. It's this great story in the Old Testament. David is brought out of a situation and God provides for him and he wants to make this sacrifice before God. And so he's the king and he goes to this certain place and the guy sees the king coming. He says, here, take this piece of property. It was a threshing floor so that you can make the necessary arrangements. Let me give you the animal to sacrifice. And David says this great, great thing. He says, I will not offer to the Lord my God that which costs me nothing. Right, that's a sacrificial way of thinking. David says, I'm not just going to give because I'm the king and somebody gives me not only their threshing floor, but also the sacrifice. I want to give because it costs me something. I want to be at the place. Am I giving in a way that causes my lifestyle to be different? Does my giving reflect the sacrificial heart of Christ? Now, to be honest, before I had looked at this and thought about this, I really thought this was kind of the highest rung you could get on the ladder, right? On the generosity ladder, you know, we're going from just getting up the courage and the desire to give, and then we're doing that more consistently, then we're intentional, then we're sacrificing. We're making choices in our lifestyle so that we can give and maybe even give more. But there is one more level, and that's the legacy giver. This is someone who makes decisions in the short term that have a long-term or even eternal effect, right? They think of what home to buy, what car they purchase, how much savings they choose to keep, all in relation to their generosity capacity. A legacy giver doesn't ask, God, how much do you want me to give? Instead, they're asking, God, how much do you want me to keep so that I can give everything else away? Right, that's where sort of the blessings of God just continually are poured out. Now, in the last few weeks, we've introduced to you some truths in order to be good stewards. And today's truth to embrace is simply this. When I put my trust in God and give generously, I will experience the joy of building a lasting legacy. Now, again, no judgment here. Start where you are, right? If you're not here, God just wants to grow you to the next rung. Each one is building our faith. Time and time again, I've heard people say, well, Dave doesn't like to talk about money. Well, we do a couple times a year. This is that time of year. And I get accused of not wanting to talk about it because it's not easy, but I'm never afraid to talk to people that I love, a church that I have the great honor and privilege to teach weekly. I'm not afraid to tell you about something that I think is not only good for you, for us, but also honors God. And I believe this idea honors God. I believe this is good for us to learn right discipline in our lives and to grow faith in us. Each rung of this ladder requires faith. From the first step, no matter where you are, from the first step to the very top, what it says is that I trust God more than I trust money. And I'll be honest, that's a hard one for us. That's a hard one for us. And until you really start thinking this through and really thinking about your own situation, you may say, oh yeah, I put some money in the box or I give online. But are you really working your way up this ladder and growing, allowing God to grow faith in you? And I know that the higher you go on this ladder, some of us get a little shaky, right? Some of us get a little bit nervous and we have a little bit of fear, but I think God wants to work through that Maybe we've trusted Christ to spiritually reconcile us and set us free. Now we've somehow refrained from trusting God with our money. Let's imagine that there are two different people here. I need a couple of volunteers. I'm going to volunteer a couple of people. Molly, will you come help me? My girls say Molly's always willing to help. Who's here? I want a guy. Sorry, Kat. Yes. Is it Gianni? Come up here. Give them a hand. All right, come stand right over here. Actually, you stand on this side. You're going to be, in this little play of sorts, you're going to be person number one, okay? Johnny's going to be person number two. Okay, let's let them know. Yes. Yeah. Okay, it's imagine there's two different people, okay? Person number one, both Christians. Person number two, both baptized into Christ, about the same age, attend the same church, have been taught about giving, heard messages on God's provision an equal number of times, have been to different Bible studies about being generous and willing to share. But one has decided to trust God. Were you number one? Sorry. You're number two. One has decided to trust God with her money. And one has decided not to. Okay, I'm not going to say who that is. And in this story, what we're talking about is moving from point A to point B. And we all kind of make these choices in our lives. We plan for ourselves financially, and we think about A to B. A being where we are, B where and where we want to be, where we have what we think or what we have determined is what we're going to need to live, right? And be and flourish and to have financial and other freedoms, okay? So A represents the starting point. B represents where we want to be, financially free without concern of having all that they need. Person number one believes that in order to get from point A to B, they have to use 100% of their finances to get there. Okay, so Gianni's saying every paycheck, every tax return. Now, this is all made up to protect the innocent. This is not how Gianni feels, but he's just using an example. And that's why I picked you. He thinks it's going to take everything that I have, every nickel I find in the couch. I'm going to need to get from point A to point B. It'll take 100% of everything I've earned. And often with good intentions, tell me if you've said or thought this exact thing. When I get to B, right? Or when I, let me reframe it, when I get the next raise or when I make that next promotion, then I'm going to start on the ladder. You with me? We tell ourselves this, and that's kind of what Gianni says. When I've got this under control, when I'm at B, whatever B is for him, I'll get on that first rung. On the other hand, person number two, Molly, takes a look at their finances, and while also needing to get from A to B, still having goals, not just being haphazard about it, having goals, rather than getting there on 100% of what she has, she thinks she can get there on maybe 90 or even 80%. And trusting God with that first 10 or 20% of her finances. And so she takes a step up on the ladder. Go ahead. Just walk up the ladder, one or two.
Oh, goodness.
If you fall, it'll be a great illustration.
It will. Do you want me to go?
Go one more.
Okay.
Are you scared?
No.
Okay, perfect. Don't fall.
It's
I was just kidding. So the first portion of her income goes to God. It's a demonstration of trust and willingness to share what she's been given. But here's the thing about this. Both people in this scenario think that the other is crazy, right? Person number one says, there's no way. What are they thinking? They don't have the right financial goals. If they think they can get there without giving 100%, if they're gonna shortchange themselves, right, and give everything or part of what they have to God and not live on that, then they're crazy. And then this person looks at person number one and thinks, it's crazy. It's crazy. They've lost their mind. How does he think that he can get from A to B without relying on God? Let me remind us of what Paul said to Timothy. Command them to do good and to be rich in good deeds and to be generous and willing to share. In other words, tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in the good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. The reason I wanted to put two actual people up here is to give you this visual and to ask you this question. Are you more like person one? Or are you more like person number two? I don't care where you are on the ladder. I don't think God cares. I just think he wants to grow faith in you. I think he wants you to give it a shot. Get over your fears and get on the ladder, get on the path to faith and growing your faith. Let's give them a hand. Thank you. Thank you. So what Paul is saying is, verse 19, in this way they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Chasing A to B without God in the mix isn't real life. Climbing the ladder and growing your faith and being faithful to God. Now listen, we're talking to people who are Christians. If you're here today, you've never started down this path. This really isn't for you. This is for people who are Christians. What I'm saying to you is this. If you really want to live and grow and be who God wants you to be, then you need to take a few steps on this ladder. I'm not trying to get your money. I don't really even care if you give it to Two Rivers Church. I mean, we don't do anything we do without your generosity. But to me, that's not what today is about. I'm pretty candid when we need money. But today's not that day. The thing is that if you'll do this, then it leads us to a whole nother place, which is the place of generosity. If A to B is having what we need, then C is a place where we get to see God do things beyond what we could ever imagine happening on our own. Some of you who are looking at me today and you have a smile on your face is because you've recognized that in your life. You've seen God do amazing things. You've trusted God with your money. And rather than being overwhelmed with your financial situation, God has instead overwhelmed you with his provision and blessing. And maybe more importantly, God has used the money that we've trusted with him to bless others and to bring others back to himself. This church has lived the story of that place, C. We don't exist without the generosity of others and the provision of God. This is people coming into contact with God over 10 years. We're going to celebrate. I'm really excited. In February, we're going to celebrate our 10-year anniversary as a church. And I get a little nostalgic. I get just short of misty, right? When I think about what God has done in this church. Because a few people had the faith to say, we're going to give some money as seed money so that this church can exist in New Bern. And because this church is here, more than 100 people in the last 10 years have given their lives to Christ and been baptized into Christ. That's C, right? That's seeing God do the things that we can't do on our own. Because of this church and because of your generosity, children in Haiti are being fed. Wells, clean water wells have been built, funded and built in Kenya. New churches have been started in Jacksonville and Knightdale. And in Wilmington. In our own city, houses have been rebuilt. People are being helped. So many good things done in the name of Christ because we've moved from A to B all the way to C, where we see God's provision through your generosity for people around us. God is good. God provides. We have been blessed beyond measure by God and through you, his people. And I don't think this is going to change. I only think this is going to grow as we grow here, as we continually commit, if each one of us goes to another rung this year, and that's my prayer for us. I'm not asking you to jump up three levels this week, right? I'm just asking that you consider going to another level, growing your faith. I hope that you'll see that being generous leads to freedom, that doing good for others is also good for your life. See, here's the deal. The Christian life is more than just finances. Right? This is why we only talk about it a couple times a year. I don't want you to come here and every week we're talking about money. It's more than just finances, but it does include our finances. Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So we have to trust that all we have has come our way by the hand of a loving God. We have to know that we can live within God's current provision for our lives, create some margins so that we can give generously and experience the joy of building a lasting legacy. Some of you here need to take the first step here today. decide, I'm going to give. May not be today. You may not be prepared. That's okay. Then decide, maybe some of you here, hey, I've given a couple times, but I want to be consistent. I want you to go where God's leading you. I want you to grow your faith because it's good for you and it honors God. So let's pray that. Let me pray for you. You pray for me that God would work in us and move us and grow our faith through our finances. Let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for all of the good things that we have in this life, all those good things that we celebrated together this past week and we were thankful for. And Lord, help us to recognize that all those good things came from you, the Father of the heavenly lights. Every good and perfect gift, the breath of life itself, the capacity to work and earn, but also the capacity to love and be generous. Lord, it all comes from you, and we're thankful for what we have. Lord, help us not to resent what we don't have. Lord, help us to live within your provision, to build some margin so that we can be generous. Lord, I pray that wherever each person is here today on this ladder, that you would just grow us. Grow us because, not because the church needs money, but because it's good for us and because it honors you. So Lord, we just pray that you would take this time and grow it in our hearts. Help us to be the people and help us to continue to be the church that you've called us to be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.